pandemic, we're not able to get everyone into the studio today, so phone lines will not be active. But we hope you'll benefit from the best of MoneyWise Live. A recent survey shows that nearly one-third of Americans have no emergency savings. Perhaps that's explained by an old English proverb. Anyone can make money. It takes a wise man to know how to spend it. And that's another way of saying maybe your income is exceeded by your outgo, and the solution is simply reversing that trend. But how? Host Rob West sits down next with money expert Ron Blue to answer that question. Then we'll hear some conversations with listeners that were recorded earlier, since we're not really in the studio right now. I'm Steve Moore. Controlling Your Cash Flow. That's next on MoneyWise Live. Well, Rob, Ron Blue is the author of Master Your Money, A Step-by-Step Plan for Experiencing Financial Contentment. And I'd be tempted to say that Ron's forgotten more about money than we'll ever know, but I doubt that's the case.
I would tend to agree with you there, Steve. Ron, such a treat to have you back with us on MoneyWise Live.
Well, it's always a treat for me to be a part of it. I love the interaction and the ministry that the two of you are having to millions of people is so significant.
Well, thank you. And today we're talking about a subject that is so critical. I know you've taught on this for many, many years. It's central to your book, Master Your Money, and it's really the whole cash flow discussion. But you really tee this up in Master Your Money by a cookie jar illustration. What can a cookie jar teach us about cash flow?
Well, back when I was born in 1942, so it was right after the Depression. And people typically through the 40s and 50s, they were paid in cash many times. And so what they would do would be they would take the cash and they would put it in the cookie jar. Mm-hmm. And they were paid weekly. And so they knew how much money was left, where they were financially. But when the cookie jar was empty, they were done spending. And that was the important principle, is that there's an end to it. This was pre-credit card society, so there was no option. When the cash was gone, the cash was gone.
Yes.
And so that principle of putting money in a jar, Judy and I carried it on to our children with an envelope system.
Yes.
And life did become more complex as time went on. And so there were more categories, and we wanted to teach our children allocate money and spend money and save money and so forth. So we used five cookie jars, and they were five envelopes. But the principle still applied.
So. Yeah. Let's talk about those for a moment. So you said with your kids, you use the envelope system, and I use the envelope system. I know our team does as well. It's a proven system to approach cash flow. But you have to modify it according to the person. In the case of your kids, you said there were five. So tell
right.
us what those were.
Well, we would have one would be tithe. Whatever the total budget was for the children that we had for the year, every time we put money in, which was once a month, they would take 10% of it and put it in a tithe envelope. And then they would give that at church. So they had the experience of tithing, literally tithing, with cash.
Yes.
Secondly, we had a save envelope, and that was 10% also to try to teach them to save. And so the question was for what? And it was for the unexpected. Maybe we're going to go to a theme park or something, and I wanted to take some money out, or maybe I'm saving for a tennis racket or a bicycle or something. Mm-hmm. So it was not hoarding. It was saving for something. And then we had a gifts envelope, which was the kids buying gifts for one another for birthdays and Christmas and special events. And then we had a closed budget, which was maybe the most significant, because we all, parents, spend a lot of money on clothes. And so we allowed our kids to shop with the cash and to buy what they wanted. And we found, for example, that one child was closer to a hoarder. He was happy with a T-shirt and some overalls.
Right.
Another child, he wanted polo shirts. Well, their unique personalities came out. Now,
yes.
Here was a shocker, Rob. I didn't realize that we had three girls, but When they became teens, we had to add an envelope for makeup. Boy, that hurt. I never thought about makeup as a category.
Well, here we are with Ron Blue today discussing makeup and also how to control your cash flow. This is MoneyWise Live, believe it or not. He's Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. And we'll be back with more from Ron Blue after this.
The financial wealth you leave behind could be the best thing that ever happened to your loved ones, or the worst. In Splitting Heirs, giving your money and things to your children without ruining their lives, Ron Blue explains why it's important to make these decisions now, instead of forcing your heirs to do it later. Splitting Heirs will foster a real appreciation for the precious resources that God has entrusted to you. And it's available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
If you need investing guidance, you probably want help that's grounded in God's Word. That's the approach taken by Sound Mind Investing. Since 1990, SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire wisdom and confidence in their investing. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a good and faithful steward in the area of investing. More information about SMI and its approach to financial wisdom for living well is available online at soundmindinvesting.org.
I'm talking with people about their finances, and you are?
Stu Starling. I'm a motivational singer.
Oh, like a motivational speaker?
Yes, but I sing.
Well, Stu, how would you motivate me to manage my money better?
Well, I'd tell you, hey, hold on to your wallet.
Ooh.
In these challenging days.
I see what you mean.
And no overspending will undermine the plans you've made.
Wow, I'm getting motivated already.
You try it.
Stick to your budget.
That's it, buddy. You can do it.
Don't spend more than you make.
Now everybody sing.
It's more than a wish. It can happen to you. You've got what it takes.
Well, Stu, just one question.
Oh.
Do you live on a budget yourself?
Of course. How do you think I saved up to buy this orchestra?
Need help getting motivated? Check out the free online budget guide when you visit crown.org. A Money Minute from Crown Financial Ministries.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
And welcome back. You're listening to MoneyWise Live with your host, Rob West. Our guest today is Ron Blue, and we're discussing the important principle of controlling your cash flow, whether you're a government, a business, or it's your family. It's important and it's vital that you know how much money you have coming in and how much money you have going out.
Ron, just before the break, we were talking about the envelope system in light of our kids. You were explaining how you and Judy handled that with your kids, and you made a fascinating observation that our kids are different. How they handle money is different. I've certainly experienced that. I've got twin girls that are 11. One of them is very into what she wears, the other really not so much. I won't say which one is which. But, you know, here's the point, though, and that is that so often people say a spending plan is limiting. Or husband and wife might say, you're just trying to control me. And yet, there's real freedom within the envelope once the amount is given to allow that to be expressed however each person chooses, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a plan to pre-allocate the income according to the things you need and your goals, your values, your objectives. So it is something that's very freeing because you know where you are.
Yes.
And that's an important concept. If you don't know where you are, you don't know how to get to where you want to go.
That's right.
So it's very important.
Well, you highlight in the book, Ron, three principles for this envelope system to work. The first principle is that the money is always allocated. So talk about that piece of it, having every dollar determined according to your plan.
Well, that really is an important principle because we all have needs. We all have things we desire. So you pre-allocate it. For example, I think vacation is a classic example. If I have a vacation budget and I put it in there, then when I go on vacation, I don't feel guilty about going out to eat or whatever it might be while I'm on vacation. That was money that was planned to be spent. That was one of the great areas of freedom. So pre-allocating the money is not limiting, it's freeing.
Yes.
And the second principle, which is critical to cash flow management, and that is that when the envelope or the bucket or the cookie jar is empty, you're done. You know when to stop spending because you've spent your budget. And then the third principle was that you always had a current awareness of what your financial situation was relative to your planned situation. It was easy to see how much money was left in the envelope or the cookie jar or in the bucket. We just had a granddaughter that got laid off from work because of this the virus, and was talking to her mother last night and said, well, how's she going to do financially? She said, you know what? She has enough savings. She figures she can live for the next 6 months with no income. That was because she planned ahead for the unexpected, and that's what the save was. So knowing where you are and knowing when it's time to quit are just practical, fundamental principles.
But in this day and age, Ron, there is the concept of what replaced the cookie jar in some ways, and that's credit cards. How do you recommend people limit their use of credit cards or approach their management of credit cards?
Well, I think probably most people would use some type of online type system. I think you've got one at MoneyWise that people could use.
Yep.
And so it becomes more digital in its management, but the principles are still the same. Is you have a budget, you have places you're going to spend your money, and you know where you are at any point in time. And the computer can be really helpful with that. And it can also be a demon, and then it controls you if you're like me. you know, I like to get up every morning and say, well, where am I?
Well, yeah, it's always good to know where you are, or otherwise you don't know how to get to where you want to be. And, of course, you said that just a minute ago. That's where I got that information. All right, so be careful with your use of credit cards. And I've also heard you say in the past that you should use credit cards not to expand your budget, but just as a comfortable way, a convenient way to spend the money you already have designated. Is that correct?
Yeah. That's absolutely correct. And the point being, when you use credit cards, is that you pay them off every month. They're a convenience item. They're not a borrowing item. And there's a big difference. So convenience versus borrowing, you're using them because it's a lot easier to manage your money or to spend your money. Nobody pays cash anymore. So nor do they use checks in many cases. So.
Yeah, I think the key is to have that use be done in the context of a plan so the money is available to pay it off in full at the end of the month. You'll never be able to do it without a spending plan. All right, Ron, let's dive into the mechanics. We'll hit these quickly before we run out of time today. There's really five steps to implementing this type of system. Take us through them.
Well, step number one is to figure out how much you are spending. So sometimes it takes as long as 2 years to figure that out. But step one is figure out how much you're spending to live right now in as much detail as possible, but not down to the penny. So I suggest that people shoot for about an 80% accuracy in the first attempt.
Okay.
Secondly, is you need to record what happens. That's kind of like a checkbook, and then when you write the check and deduct it from the amount, you can see how closely you are to what you thought you were going to spend. And then third, after you've kind of gone through this analysis and observation and reevaluation, you establish your budget. And now you've established it according to your history and according to your thoughts and and desires. So it may take 2-3 months to figure this out. It may take a couple of years. And don't be hard on yourself, I say. You're in a process. And it's a process of learning. And so one of the greatest ways that you learn is by the mistakes that you make. But that's just a part of the learning process. So if you don't have a plan, you're going to live a life of worry and concern because you just don't know where you are and you don't know where you should be. So those are the three. And the fourth is, how do I control my spending? And again, here's something like Mint or Quicken or something like that. And five, the step five is, once you've been operating on a budget, you need to evaluate it and revise it periodically. It changes. And here's what will happen. If you do this long enough, all of a sudden you have built habits of spending so that your budget doesn't vary much from year to year because you've kind of got the level of spending that you are comfortable with and that meets your needs. But give yourself a 2-3 months, a couple of years, begin planning, begin controlling, begin reevaluating, and begin the habit of living within a budget for each of those categories.
So key, such sage advice, Ron. And I think one of the final points there is stay flexible. You may need to make some transfers among those envelopes from month to month, but this will really help.
Teacher, good friend, and author of Master Your Money, among many books, Ron Blue with us today on MoneyWise Live, although we aren't actually live in the studio today. Now, right after the break, we will be taking some calls that were recorded earlier, though, so please stay with us.
God cares a great deal more about our money than most of us imagine. In fact, Jesus says more about our use of money and possessions than about anything else, including both heaven and hell. In Managing God's Money, author Randy Alcorn breaks it all down in a simple, easy-to-follow format that makes it the perfect reference tool if you're interested in gaining a solid biblical understanding of money, possessions, and eternity. Managing God's Money is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Do you know the 7 things not to do with your money in uncertain times? And would you like to know 10 ways to trim your budget amid the current pandemic? Well, you'll get those answers and much more when you subscribe to the new MoneyWise e-magazine. You'll receive valuable expert articles. You'll even get access to exclusive podcast episodes. And your subscription is free. Get access to the MoneyWise e-magazine today at moneywise.org/signup.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
I don't care what we say. We act out of what we truly believe. And I don't care how we'll claim that this is true. If we're still wigged out in sin, we do not believe it. Not in the marrow of our bones. We do not believe that we have been freed out from under that domination. Now let me tell you why this is so important. This is very important. Because grace was not meant to give us license into sin. Stay with me here. Grace frees us from the condemnation that draws us back over and over again to that area of sin. It is that we believe this is who I am. This is how I act. I have been dominated by this thing for 45 years, and it's all it's ever going to be. That mindset will drag us back every single time. What we truly believe ourselves to be is what we will return to. Be that someone who has been redeemed by the grace of God and is filled with the Holy Spirit, or whether that be, it will all be about how condemned we believe we are to the hold of that sin. Am I making sense to anybody? It's not the power of the sin itself. It has no right any longer. It's the power of believing a lie. We believe it has power. Therefore, it does.
Beth and the team are thankful for the grace gift to serve you. Your letters, prayers, and support are a vital part of this program. To request this month's thank you gift, text the word GIFT to 57682. Again, text GIFT to 57682 or go to bethmoore.org/donate. That's BethMoore.org/donate.
We're MoneyWise Live, and we talk about our telephone number often, usually because we're live, but today we're pre-recorded, so if you hear a mention of the phone number, please don't call us, but you can find us online at moneywiselive.org. All right, let's go up to Green Bay, Wisconsin, and this is the time of year to go to Green Bay, Wisconsin. Hey, Vincent, what's on your mind? How can we help you, sir?
Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate that.
Sure.
I just turned 63 in the end of April, and we sold our company. And after taxes and everything, we netted about $250,000. I do have a house that we bought that we owe about $120,000 on it from a $165,000 loan. We have a Honda Pilot that we owe payments on. About $30,000 yet. The interest rate on that is about, I think, 3.5-4%. And I don't know if I should, other than that, we're completely debt-free. And I don't know if I should draw my Social Security or not. And I'm really looking for some advice on that.
Yeah, Vincent, that's really helpful. Let me just clarify a few things. So you said you're 63. You are still working. Is that right?
No, I sold the company. I'm just doing part-time work. You know, just on the side, just to get a little income. And my wife is 56, so she's doing a little work on the side, too.
All right. Is the work that you and your wife are doing, is that covering your expenses, or are you drawing from savings to supplement your living expenses?
Well, the gentleman who bought the company pays us $1,700 a month. So with that, and hopefully the income we both have, I think we might be close or okay. I don't really know yet.
Okay. Will that $1,700 a month continue for some time?
It should, yes.
Okay. And what other savings do you have, both emergency fund as well as longer-term retirement savings?
Longer retirement, we probably have about $60,000, maybe $70,000 in IRAs. And I have another like $20,000 coming on an insurance thing. I'm supposed to get paid for not using it. And this gentleman is supposed to pay us another $125,000, $30,000. I don't know if that's going to pan out or not, but that's kind of where we're sitting right now.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, from my standpoint, I'd love for Ron to weigh in as well. I mean, this is a unique season where you can continue to work by delaying your Social Security through the work that you have, plus this money that's coming in from the sale of the business on a monthly basis. That will allow you to let the Social Security continue to build so that when you do start drawing it, you will be able to do so at obviously a higher amount. If you were to take it at 63, with full retirement age being 67, you're going to take about a 25% reduction in that forever from the time you start collecting that. And so I'd like for that to build up, and you have an opportunity to do that. The question is, do you go ahead and pay off all the debt now, which is going to further reduce the need that you have in terms of your expenses over the long haul? And I would say if you plan to stay in this home, I would do that. But Ron, what are your thoughts? How do you process this?
Well, it's a really good question, and I agree with your recommendation on Social Security. I started when I was 67, and that is really nice income. But if you don't need it, it's better to wait because of that 25% haircut. Secondly, when it comes to paying off a home mortgage, I typically counsel people that by the time they're 65 or 70 to have that home mortgage paid off. But I don't do that at the expense of having no liquidity, because liquidity gives you flexibility. So what you might do is, if you're going to get another $130,000 or so, you might pay a bit down on that mortgage. I'd probably pay off the Honda right away, and I would begin some repayment plan on the mortgage, but I wouldn't pay it all down to take all of your liquidity until you see whether you get the $130,000 or not. It's really well at your age and stage of life to have that liquidity, as well as to have no mortgage, but there's the trade-off there. And that's a big one. So it doesn't sound like you're extravagant in what you're spending. But I would have that plan. I pay off the Hondas, delay my Social Security, begin paying down on the mortgage, but don't pay it off totally until you get the other $130,000.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's good counsel. I think the balance between being debt-free now versus the liquidity trade-off is an important one. Only reason you could potentially pay it off now is because even after you pay off the car and the home, you'd still have $100,000 free cash available for that liquidity. But I would temper it based on your conviction. Pray through it, and then you and your wife make that decision together. Vincent, thank you for your call, sir.
Thank you, buddy. Our phone number, 800-525-7000. We're taking your calls on any financial topic today with Ron Blue and Rob West to, Dallas, Texas. Ray, how can we help you, sir?
Good afternoon, Ron and Rob. Appreciate you taking time. We are, besides one car and our mortgage, debt-free, no 401k, no retirement plan. We pay our tithing. We are Christians, and we give our tithe monthly, the 10% or above. But I just have a question as far as retirement for the future plan, or as scripture says, store up treasures in heaven. Yeah. I go back and forth from as far as the retirement plan that God will always provide. The industry that I am in, I'm quite capable of working for years to come. And it clearly says that there's no certain time where I will retire or we're called to retire.
Yeah. Ray, I appreciate the question. We've got about a minute left. I want Ron to weigh in on this. What is your age, real quick?
56.
Great. Ron, what are your thoughts?
Well, you do need to provide for retirement. That I would suggest that you do. And here's the thing. You're balancing the present versus the future, the eternal future. And nobody but you and God can answer that question. So there's not a rule to follow, except whatever's not of faith is sin. So go to the Lord and say, Lord, what would you have me to do relative to that balance?
That's a good word. Ron, thanks so much for being with us today. We appreciate you, my friend.
Thank you. Enjoyed it as always.
Thanks, Ron. Ron Blue, the author of Master Your Money and a number of great resources. We'll be back with more right after this.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
Hi. I'm Caleb from Moody Radio. The Moody Bible Institute verse of the week is found in Isaiah 35:3-4. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. That's Isaiah 35:3-4, the Moody Bible Institute verse of the week.
Moody Bible Institute founder Dwight Lyman Moody once said,
"Take courage. We walk in the wilderness today, but in the promised land tomorrow."
For Christ followers, we walk with a mission to share the gospel of Christ. Each day provides opportunity to invest in this mission. A charitable gift annuity to benefit Moody provides life income to you with the remainder supporting the work of the Moody Bible Institute. To find out much more, call 1-800-801-2171. That's 800-801-2171.
Would you like your life to be infused with joy? Would you like to interject an eternal dimension into even the most ordinary day? Author Randy Alcorn says you can when you discover The Treasure Principle. In a concise, power-packed style, this newly revised and updated book offers a six-step plan to finding the immediate pleasure and eternal rewards of The Treasure Principle. And once you discover it, life will never look the same. The Treasure Principle is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. The head of the FDA says his agency has suggested a rapid COVID-19 test used by President Trump may produce false negatives. The Abbott Laboratories test is used daily at the White House. Abbott has rejected the findings. Tourists are once again roaming portions of Grand Canyon National Park after some areas have reopened. During the early morning, more than 24 people were enjoying some viewpoints along the South Rim. The main highway between Las Vegas and Reno, U.S. 95, has been closed following a pre-dawn magnitude 6.5 earthquake. A researcher called it the largest to strike in a remote area of western Nevada in 65 years. No injuries reported. Stocks managing to close modestly higher. Today, the Dow gained 60 points, the NASDAQ was up 70, and the S&P 500 ahead 11 points. This is SRN News.
Hey, a real pleasure to have you with us today. This is Money Wise Live. I'm Steve Moore. That other guy over there, the guy with the answers, he's Rob West, and we're happy to have you on the program. We're happy to have you with us on the program today. However, we are pre-recorded. We won't be taking your calls, but we've lined up some calls in advance that I think you'll find interesting, helpful, and very, very practical. At least we've tried to make them that way. So stick around. This is Money Wise Live. Let's go directly to our phones. Hey, Paul, welcome to the program, sir.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. I appreciate the program, and I also have read Ron Blue's books.
Oh, great.
So I have a question about the Social Security because I'm 61 and a half. I have a pension and I still work, but I just keep thinking that I should take the Social Security as soon as I can and just save the money and invest it and be that much ahead of what I would, you know, get when I start to collect it, 66 and 8 months, I think. And I just keep going back and forth on, I know a lot of people say to not to wait, but I just think, man, that's a lot of money to turn down, not knowing when I'm going to pass on, you know, or
yes,
my wife even. You know what I mean?
Well, that's exactly right. And it's something to think about. I mean, obviously, what factors into that is just simply the amount you're giving up and finding that break-even point and then comparing that to your health and life expectancy. And none of us know the day or time the Lord will return, let alone when we'll go home to be with him. And so I think you've got to do that math. You've got to pray through it and make a decision. Ultimately, what it comes down to is, what is the point at which you will collect, you will offset the amount you've given up by delaying and then enjoy that higher check for the rest of your life. There's simple math to find this number. Basically, you take the lower annual benefit, you multiply it by the extra years of benefits, and then you divide by the difference between the higher and the lower. Now, I know that sounds complicated. So let's say, for example, if your benefits at 67 would have been $18,000 a year, you get a 30% reduction for claiming it at 62, which would leave you with about $12,500. So you're getting $5,400 less per year than you would have if you'd waited. Now, the five extra years of benefits gets you $63,000. So you divide that by your this amount, the $5,400, and you find out it's going to take you 11 years and 8 months. Now, you might say, Rob, I'm not following you on the math. Well, here's the bottom line. For that person who takes it at 62 versus 67, it's going to take almost 12 years to get to the place where you've made back in extra earnings the amount you've given up by the years you delayed, and then beyond that 12-year mark, you're now enjoying a higher check every month. Well, then the question is, well, how do I know if I'm going to live 12 years? Well, you don't. Now, one of the things working in your favor is that once you reach age 65, life expectancy increases. So once you reach age 65, a man in the United States today will live on average to 84. A woman turning 65 can expect to live on average to about 86 or 87. That's just the way longevity works on the averages. So if you put all of of that into the equation, you factor that against whether you need the money now, the fact that that's going to reduce your lifestyle potentially by not taking it now. What about your giving and your goals and all of those things? And you just have to weigh all of those factors and then make that decision. But starting with the math and figuring out how many years until I reach that break-even point is really a key part of this equation, Paul.
Okay. And one more question I had. In the first year that you start to collect your Social Security, I'm understanding that you can earn up to $45,000 in 2019 or 2020, or do they still cut you off at the $19,000 if you start collecting?
Yeah, that's a good question. So in 2019, the numbers are $17,640 that you can earn before full retirement age. Now, once you reach full retirement age, you can earn as much as you want. But above that $17,600, you'll have a dollar deducted from your payment for every $2 that you earn that exceeds the limit. And that was a $600 increase over last year's limit of just over $17,000. So that's the number you're looking at if you want to start collecting before full retirement age and you want to continue working and you have earned income.
Paul, we hope that helps you. Great questions. And just pray through this with your wife and ask the Lord what he would have you do. None of us knows all those answers, but obviously God does. Thanks. Fort Myers, Florida. Shelley, what's on your mind today? How can we help you?
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I'm in a pickle.
All right.
I am 52 years old and disabled on SSI. It took me many years to get that, and I survived on credit card. And then my health turned worse, so now I have about $8,000 in credit card debt and probably $1,000 I owe the IRS, and I own a 2000 Toyota Camry. That's all I own. No assets other than that or money. And I survive on $730 a month and just rent a room. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah. Well, Shelley, I'm sorry to hear about your health situation that led to these financial problems. I know clearly by you calling today, you want to honor the Lord and you want to find a path forward that allows you to be a good steward of what you have. Remember, Paul said we need to learn to live with however much or however little, learn to be content, live within God's provision, and we can use his principles to do that. And it doesn't mean it's going to be easy, and you certainly are experiencing that. Let me ask you about this credit card debt. Are you current on it in your current plan? Are you paying the minimums every month?
Not at all.
Okay.
I haven't even looked at it for probably 3 years and really wasn't able to, health wise.
Yeah. And do you have the ability now? I realize you're on a fixed income and every dollar matters, but do you think you have the ability to start making payments on this? If you were to, for instance, connect with our friends at Christian Credit Counselors and they were to negotiate a monthly payment that you could begin making, is there any margin there?
It would be pretty hard.
Yeah, sure. No, I understand.
My rent's $400 a month, and my car insurance is $100.
Yeah.
My phone's $50, and the internet is $50, and then that takes about the $730.
Sure, yeah. Well, I think the key for you right now is just to continue to ask the Lord to provide. Recognize he is your provider, not the government, not anybody. Also, make your needs known to the body of Christ. And let's see who might rally around you to help be a blessing, be the hands and feet of Christ in your life during what has been a very difficult season. We'll pray for you. We'll ask our community to be praying for you. And thanks for your call today.
We will indeed. Thank you very much, Shelley. Today's broadcast is pre-recorded. recorded, so we won't be taking any calls, but we have some calls lined up and some great information coming your way that I think you'll find usable at the very, very least. This is MoneyWise Live. I'm Steve Moore. We'll be right back.
This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy here to help you understand God's purpose for your life through the eyes of a layman. How is it that the Great Commission, one of the most quoted passages in the Bible, is almost universally ignored by Christians today? Less than 2% of us invited even one person to church in the last 12 months. How's that possible? What are we thinking? How can we possibly absolve ourselves of the only task that God's commissioned us to perform? Well, most Christians have talked themselves into believing the Great Commission was only given to our pastors, that going into the world to preach the gospel is their responsibility. There's just one problem with that. They don't go into the world. They go into our churches with their mandate found in Ephesians 4:11 to equip us for ministry. So their role is to equip us and send us into the world to fulfill the Great Commission. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everyone you're with today closer to Jesus. If you want to know how easy that is, go to ROTW.com.
Do you know if you have enough? Enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Even in these uncertain times, you can replace fear with hope. And Michael Blue's new book, Financial Hope, is a hands-on study to help you do just that. A short assessment will show you exactly where you are now. You'll then unlock the four H's of biblical financial wisdom and put your action plan in writing to transform your finances. Right now, request your copy of Financial Hope when you support MoneyWise Live with a gift of $25 or more at moneywiselive.org.
Have you ever just sat down and watched people go by? People are fascinating, each one existing in their own little world. That is, until lives begin to overlap. Do you realize how your life influences others? Most of us have seen the movie It's a Wonderful Life. It's a powerful reminder how our life touches other people, often without us realizing it. Maybe the next person you meet is being faithfully prayed for by their family. You may be the answer to their prayers as God gives you the opportunity to witness to them. What if you're faithfully praying for someone? Don't you want God to bring believers across your friend's path? We all have a responsibility before God to share the good news, but we also have a responsibility to one another. Take every opportunity to tell people about the salvation found in Jesus Christ. It's only when we get to heaven that we'll find out how God used our lives to touch others.
This is our final segment of a broadcast we previously recorded. Thanks so much for being with us today, and we hope you'll stick around and enjoy the rest of the program. Rob, here's an email from Erica. As you suggested, Rob, we have saved up $1,000 for emergencies. We live on one irregular income. We received an inheritance, and we aren't sure if we should pay down our debt or build up our savings to cover 6 months' worth of expenses. What do you think?
Yes. And so I would start by saying, when you say, Erica, pay down your debt, if you have credit cards, I'd put another $500 with that $1,000, and I'd focus on paying off those credit cards. But don't do it until you have a spending plan that you're confident you can live by, because what I don't want to see is you take this inheritance, take care of the credit cards, but then you're still living beyond your means, if in fact you are, and the credit card debt comes right back over the next 12 months. So get the spending plan in place. Add $500 to your emergency fund, and then pay off the credit cards. If you don't have credit cards, and we're talking about a house payment or a car payment, then I would go ahead and boost that emergency savings all the way up to the 6 months, and then take the balance and look at where you might want to put it for the long term. Save it, saving for college, maybe retirement savings, other investments, those types of things.
Most likely that inheritance will only happen once in your life, so you want to use it carefully and prayerfully. We appreciate that email. And here on MoneyWise Live, let's go right back to our phones, West Palm Beach, Florida. Jim, what's your question, sir?
I'm 70 and a half. I have I retired, and I found out that my pension plan, if I die, goes back into the pension plan because I don't and I didn't realize that. So I don't know what I have about 50,000 in a 401k, and then say 109,000 in that pension plan. So I'm trying to find out what kind of vehicle to put it in. I think maybe I'd want to get a monthly disbursement. I don't know how many years to do it. I don't know how to make the money last the longest.
Sure.
And then I would want it to go to my family if something happens to me in between.
Yes.
And then also I'm concerned about commissions because I've talked to a couple people and one wants, I don't understand the commissions on these. If you've already made a choice, why you keep paying that every year, but maybe that's too many questions in one. I don't know.
Well, I think the bottom line, Jim, is we need to get some more information here so you understand exactly what you have and then what your options are. Are they giving you the option with the pension to take a lump sum or to take a payout and a monthly payout for the rest of your life?
Yes, they would, yeah. And
okay.
Supposedly it's for life, yeah.
Yeah. And have you seen the difference between the amount they'd give you as a lump sum versus the monthly amount?
Well, the lump sum would be minus the taxes, I guess.
Yeah.
And then I have the 401k, which is separate from that.
Okay. And so what we need to do is really compare that and look at what they're offering you in the form of a monthly payout for the rest of your life and look at the equivalent rate of return you would have to achieve on the lump sum to generate that, recognizing that you're going to be assuming the risk if you take that in a lump sum fashion. But if the amount you can achieve is reasonable based on you investing it, in fact, you have the potential to earn more and you have the access to the funds, so you have more flexibility if you need access to that capital for any reason, an unexpected event, a medical event, anything like that. Obviously, it gives you more flexibility by having access to the principal, but you're assuming the risk of having to invest it and achieve a certain rate of return that would be equivalent to that monthly payout that would be added to your other income. And then we need to do some retirement planning to say, okay, based on this pension, based on the Social Security income, based on what you have in your 401k, and also based on your lifestyle, your expenses in retirement once you stop working, where are you at and what changes need to be made? Do you need to downsize your lifestyle because you don't have enough there? Do you have plenty, but you need to think about things like long-term care insurance, which could offset a risk that could be perhaps the greatest expense that you could see during that season of life. All of this will be considered in some retirement planning. So that's what I'm going to suggest is your next step, because there's too many moving parts and unanswered questions for us to give you a specific recommendation here in just a couple of minutes on the radio. But if you sit down with somebody, you could pay them just for their time, not an ongoing engagement, to look over and assess your full situation. I think you'd really find some peace of mind and some value in that process. The way to do that is just go to our website at moneywiselive.org, click on Find a CKA, find a Certified Kingdom Advisor, put in your zip code, and there in West Palm Beach, there's a number of them, and you'd be looking for a financial planner that can do specifically some retirement planning for you and help you analyze all of these options.
Jim, thank you very much. We're glad you called today. Orlando, Florida. And Steve, what's your situation? You have a Roth question, huh?
Yes, sir. Hey, thank you guys for taking my call.
Yes.
So I'm 51 years old, and I retired from the military back in 2013. I've been working part-time. So for a few years, I was a student for a year, and then I've been working part-time, and then one year I didn't work at all. Currently, since I retired from the military, I've been receiving pension from there as well as rental property. And I just was reading something recently that I should have not been contributing to my Roth IRA. And I was wondering what's my steps that I need to do for the year that I did not work a full-time job or receive and earn income.
Yeah. Well, once those years pass, you can't catch up with a Roth. So the key is that you contribute or as many years as you possibly can, so long as your income is below the max, and sounds like it will be, and recognizing, as you just acknowledged, you can only contribute up to the maximum contribution, but you have to make sure you have at least that much in the way of earned income for that particular year. And if you do, then you can obviously make that contribution. For somebody who's under 50, it's $6,000. Over 50, it's $7,000 this year. And as long as you have the earned income up to that amount, you can obviously make that contribution. Unfortunately, you wouldn't be able to go back and contribute for prior years where you had not made contributions. So then we look at, okay, what are other opportunities for you to save for the long term? We obviously want to do that in a tax-deferred environment when possible. So if you have access to another retirement plan, like a company-sponsored plan or something like that, you could save there alongside the Roth IRA. I think the key is keep your lifestyle in check, make sure you have your emergency savings, make sure debt is under control, you're giving, and then just try to save 10 to 15% at a minimum toward the longer term. And if you can save more, that would be even better since you're playing some catch up.
Yeah. So I've been doing all the things that you just you mentioned. I've been doing all that. What I've been doing in the years I did not work, I still contribute to my Roth IRA. And so, and I believe that I should have not contributed to my Roth IRA because it wasn't working.
I see. Yes. Okay. I would visit with your tax preparer on that just to find out how to approach that. But if you over contribute, you'll have to pay a penalty for excess contribution. And you'll want to go ahead and do that. So if you don't have a CPA who can help you navigate that, you can find one on our website at moneywiselive.org. Just look for a certified Kingdom advisor there in Orlando in the tax and accounting area. And just let them know I made a contribution to a Roth. I didn't have earned income. I want to acknowledge that and do whatever I need to do to make that right. And they'll help you navigate that with the IRS. Shouldn't be a big deal. And I think the key is that you get on top of it now and don't delay.
Steve, we hope that helps you, sir, and we're glad that you called today. Thanks very, very much. And Jay, I'm not sure we're going to be able to get you on the program today, but if you'll stay on the line, we'll talk to you a bit off air. We do appreciate your call. Thanks very, very much. And Rob, again, it's the National Day of Prayer, and we don't take that lightly around here. All that we do and say is bathe in prayer to the best of our ability. Not that we're perfect in that regard, but listeners may not know that whenever we sit down behind the microphones, we do our very best to remember to pray first, and it's not a good luck charm or a rabbit's foot or anything like that. It's because we're fully aware of the fact that even though we're talking about money and finances, we're also aware that God has planted us here, and His Word has a lot to say about the subject, and we want to be able to sync our brains and our spirit up with His.
Well, that's exactly right, Steve. You know, one of my favorite passages is Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You know, if you look carefully at this verse, it's in the form of a command. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, pray. And I would say, Steve, that everything includes our finances. We have the opportunity to invite the God of the universe into our financial lives. And for many of our listeners today, in fact, for all of us, that's exactly the step you need to do, especially if you're struggling to determine your next move financially. Ask God to be present in that decision, to give you wisdom, as He promises to do in James, and then move forward with confidence.
Yeah, amen to that. Hey, if you'd like to put God's work and principles to work in your own personal finances, let me suggest Ron Blue's book. It's newly revised, Master Your Money. In this book, Ron helps you put into practice principles that will help you avoid common financial mistakes. It'll help you save, invest, and give wisely, get out of debt, plan for your taxes and estate needs, how to create a long-term financial plan that works for both spouses, not just one, and much, much more. Again, the title of the book, it really is a masterpiece. It's called Master Your Money, and you'll find it available to purchase when you visit our website, moneywiselive.org. That's moneywiselive.org, where you'll find a number of free resources, including past radio archives, some of Rob's favorite resources, ways to apply God's principles to your money, and much, much more. It's also where you can make a donation if you feel so inclined. Pray about that. And then if you'd like to give, just click the Donate tab at the top of the page. MoneyWise Live is a partnership between Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media. And my thanks today to the folks in the front lines, Amy, Judy, Gabby T., and Rich R. For Rob West, I'm Steve Moore, hoping you'll join us again next time.